This land of ours is under attack. Time has come, we're gonna take it back. Just gonna wait and see. Don't tread on me. I won't sit back, stand idly by. Watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible. Don't tread on my guts. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land. From sea to sea, don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends. Gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Second hour on this Friday, June 7th, 2024 edition of Your Defending Fathers with Trucker Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. Joining us in this time slot every Friday is a history lesson discussion with Pastor Rusty Chatfield. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Yesterday was 80 years since June 6, 1944, D-Day. And that basically changed the direction of World War II, the sacrifice that was made. We talked about it in the show yesterday, all 3 hours. But basically, it ties right into the tee-up to the history lesson today. But I want to start off with D-Day. Explain D-Day to the folks who maybe for some reason don't know.
It was the Allied invasion of Europe. June 6, 1944, to retake Europe from the Nazis. It was by far the largest operation of its kind ever in the history of the world. Amphibious operation. Incredibly. It was called Operation Overlord. It took an incredible amount of planning. It was the statistics involved with this. It was a... two different phases, an airborne assault, and then later an amphibious landing. There were...
How many men were totally involved in this operation?
Oh, wow. A million.
That's what I thought.
There was 132,000 ground troops, but that doesn't count the support troops, the ships, the Air Force, and there were... there was a couple of million men in England that were there ready. And again, the whole operation of D-Day, I mean, we're not talking about just the first guys that hit the beaches.
No.
Not just, I mean, this was a gigantic planning of how this happened. There were 18,000 paratroopers. There were, the Air Force flew 14,000 sorties. 132,000 ground troops. They were going to hit the beaches. There were five different beaches. This was called Operation Overlord. There were five beaches: Utah, Omaha, Gold, Juneau, Sword. It was a multinational effort. And I say that, and we'll talk about Truman in a little bit, but it was mostly the United States. But we were helped. We were helped. It was. This was something that Stalin, remember, the Soviet Union, the Russians were our allies during World War II.
Right.
He was begging for. He was begging for a second front. The Russians had endured a lot from the invasion, of the Nazis, and he wanted a second front to relieve some of the pressure. Now, I will tell you this about Stalin. He was thinking way ahead of Roosevelt, maybe not so far ahead as Churchill. Churchill never did trust Stalin. I think Roosevelt, FDR, had a too rosy a view of Stalin. Say, we're a team, we're against the Nazis, and we were, of course. But Stalin was already thinking in advance. And
he was definitely looking down the road.
He was, for sure.
Yeah.
There were three different conferences during World War II that were big conferences. There was one in Tehran, one in Yalta, and then one right after the war ended at Potsdam, which is a suburb of Berlin. But Stalin was planning already how to expand communism. And Churchill never did trust him. Roosevelt trusted him too much. And we'll stop there with the music going.
Absolutely. Good place to stop right there. D-Day leading to President Truman. We're going to get to all that. Short break. We'll be right back.
Hey everybody, it's Trucker Randy, the Yo-Yo Diet King. I have literally lost hundreds of pounds in my life. Slim Fast in the 90s, Nutrisystem in 2000, South Beach, Superfoods, they all worked in the short term, only to gain it all back, plus some. Now that I'm 65, I really wanted to find a program that would increase my metabolism to burn my belly fat, bring my hormones back to my younger days, without any exercising. Then I met Missy, a MyPure Health Solutions. She explained how her program does exactly what I was looking for. Go to TruckerRandyHealth.com, follow my journey with Missy, and see that I dropped 22 pounds of body fat in the first 14 days without exercising and eating real foods. Again, go to TruckerRandyHealth.com and schedule a free consultation, or call Missy at 269-964-4044. Let Missy change your metabolism just like she's changed mine. Do it today. Find everything you need to ride at Northern Leathers and Accessories, where comfort and style meet no matter the season. Find parts, equipment, and other products for motorcycles, snowmobiles, and ATVs, including products from Drag Specialties, Parts Unlimited, Moose Utilities, Lucas, and Champion Power. Plus apparel for men, women, and children, including big and tall sizes. Quality items at prices you can afford. Stop in today to browse our selection located on US 131 in Elba. We are more than just leathers.
Presque Isle Electric and Gas Co-op has powered Northeast Michigan for more than 85 years. Now we're connecting it to the rest of the world through our new fiber network. Get ready for the PIE&G Connect broadband difference. The fastest speeds in Northeast Michigan, unlimited access, and exceptional reliability. Packages start at $54.95 per month with autopay. There's internet, and then there's PIE&G Connect. Sign up today at PIEGConnect.com.
Epoxy Pro, a veteran-owned company serving Michigan, Wisconsin, and Illinois for over 38 years. Epoxy Pro provides one-and-done forever floors that are maintenance-free and easy to clean. Preserve, protect, and even restore your concrete floors today. Check us out online at epoxypro.com or call us at 877-703-7699. Epoxy Pro, your floors today. Call us at 877-703-7699.
Everybody, welcome back into the show. Discussion with Pastor Chatfield talking about D-Day leading into President Truman's election presidency. Let's talk about Stalin just a little bit more on that point, because I had a text message yesterday when I was talking about D-Day, and he said, you know, Stalin wanted to do even more. General Patton wanted to do more. MacArthur wanted to do more. Why did they not heed the advice? Why did they not listen to these generals and even Stalin at the time, how they could have stopped this in a different, completely different direction? But MacArthur and Patton wanted to basically go into Russia. Explain that whole dynamic.
Well, I don't know what he meant by Stalin wanted to do more.
Stalin, as far as D-Day, he felt that this had to be done in a bigger. He was pushing them to make it overlord. He pushed them to basically make it as massive as it was, because at the time he was an ally. Correct.
Correct. That may be true. I honestly have not heard that, but that may be true. I do not know.
Okay.
But it was massive. 2 million men that were in England preparing for this. And I was watching an interview the other day with Tom Hanks, and he admitted he's an amateur historian, but he does read. And there were a lot of men that were sent over to England that were, their job was to keep tanks running or to fix jeeps or to fix airplanes. Were men like that needed? Of course they were. I mean, you had to have lots and lots of support. Just critically important. They may not have been in the first landing craft that were hitting the beaches June 6th, but everybody that helped was important. Now, here's the story with Patton. Truman never liked Patton. Truman didn't like MacArthur. Truman liked Eisenhower, but they had kind of a falling out back in 1952 when Truman ran for when Truman declined to run again for president and Eisenhower ran. But he didn't like prima donnas. Truman didn't. And look, Truman, first of all, Roosevelt, they wanted to end the war. They wanted peace. They wanted peace. They wanted to get American lives back. They wanted to end the war. They didn't want to fight anymore. I mean, people would, and by the way, Omar Bradley, another general whom Truman liked and Roosevelt liked, he wasn't crazy about Patton either. And there was others that kind of thought that Patton and MacArthur were prima donnas and kind of in the same, like, the same category, Montgomery, a British general. And generals are like that. I mean, they've got their own ambition. But we didn't want to continue the war. We did not want the war to continue. We wanted to get peace. Now, it's difficult when we say peace, and Stalin has already got plans to take over Eastern Europe. And he did. He did have plans, and he did take over Eastern Europe. And all that because we weren't going to stand up to Stalin, especially Roosevelt at Yalta, and to some measure, Truman at Potsdam. Potsdam was the after the fall of Berlin, surrender of Germany, before the fall of Japan, the surrender of Japan. There was a conference there. And it was kind of decided things, and Stalin was always pushing. And Truman kind of liked him, his personality. He didn't completely trust him, but he said, you know what, we want to end this war. And that's why he didn't allow Patton to go in attack. And because we wanted the war to be over.
Just wanted to end it and be done with it.
Yes.
Time exactly. To move on.
It's kind of the same idea at the Persian Gulf War. Why didn't George Herbert Walker Bush go in and take out Saddam Hussein? We could have. But we let him remain in power. It says, mission accomplished. We wanted to make the Iraqis, 1991, get out of Kuwait. We did. And that wasn't part of our mission plan, to overthrow Saddam.
Right.
Our mission was not, at that time, at the end of World War II, was not to prevent Eastern Europe from falling into communist hands. I mean, after all, Stalin promised free and fair elections. Duh. Obviously, it didn't happen.
Right.
But, you know, hindsight's always 20/20.
Sure. Now, let me ask you this question. After Truman became president and made the decision to drop the bombs on Japan, it was complete shock and awe. It just obliterated Japan and forced their hand to say, okay, we give, we're done, we're out. They surrendered. We got the peace. How did things take its toll on Truman? Where, because he only served one term, correctly?
Well, he served almost two complete terms, but he was only elected once in his
once life, right? On his own.
Yes, right. Once on his own, but he was the vice president. He served almost 8 years, but not quite.
Got it. Because of Roosevelt and his situation, and then he took over, got elected, served his one term, and he was done. Let me ask you this question. Do you think, looking back at the history of it all, Truman did the right thing as far as ending the war and the way he did in Japan?
Yes, I do. Dropping the bomb, yes, he had to do it. Now, could he have been tougher with Stalin? Maybe. But listen, and this will lead us, it's the same thinking here. I want to make a point about D-Day. Oh, it was a gigantic, huge international operation of the Allies. Well, yes, but it was mostly the United States. Mm-hmm. People don't like to hear that. I was talking just recently with a couple of people. A person was from Poland and very up on the Ukrainian war, the Ukraine-Russian war, because it's right on their border. I mean, it's within like 60 miles from where they live.
Right.
And it matters to them. And the other person has studied international relations, and we were talking about NATO, and they were urging the United States to help Ukraine. We need to help Ukraine more. And then they said, well, if we don't help Ukraine, what would you do if Poland was invaded by the Russians? I says, well, we're under treaty obligations with Poland. We would have to defend them. We're a part of NATO, as is Poland.
Sure.
And they said, well, would you really do it? And I said, well, yes, we would. And then I said this, and they didn't like it at all. I says, look, NATO, the United States is NATO. They didn't like that at all. But that's really, in practical terms, the United States is NATO.
Yep.
And NATO, and the only other person, that's an exaggeration, I get it. But the only person that kind of pushes our leverage a little bit was President Trump. Now, he just said, well, maybe we don't. He just kind of said, maybe we don't need NATO anymore. Boy, Europe went into a panic mode at that. And sure. I'm not saying that we should withdraw from NATO. I'm not suggesting that. But I am suggesting that they need to pull their weight on these things and understand that the United States cannot afford to be the world's policeman and defend everybody everywhere. We've got our own issues. And if you want our help, man, you better show that you're willing to spend more than 1.5% of your GDP or whatever it is on defense and start doing what we have to do.
Right.
And there's arguing among even the allies of NATO, and there was arguing among the allies and at the end of World War II. Okay. Okay, where do you want me to go now, Randy?
Well, the point that I guess I want to get to is Truman, in dealing with all this and making those decisions, and like you say, the North American Treaty Organization, supposedly when it first started, it was fully funded by all the nations. I mean, we didn't fund it all on our own, correct?
Correct, but we were the world's zenith power, super at the time, zenith power.
Right.
I didn't make that word up, but I mean, we were way more powerful than anybody, but the Russians were growing.
And they were growing. So what happened during Truman's presidency, that relationship with Stalin after the World War II is over, Japan surrenders, what direction did Stalin start taking Russia then compared to us getting rid of Hitler?
He could see that Stalin was a tyrant, a complete tyrant. He was hopeful that they would fulfill their end of the agreements that were made at Potsdam, but they did not. And the Truman Doctrine said this, and this was a bold statement. You know, we're going to oppose everywhere the expansion of communism. Truman believed that we made a mistake after World War I in not following the advice of Woodrow Wilson, who was one of the heroes of his, and not joining the League of Nations. He was convinced that if we'd have joined the League of Nations and the League of Nations would have done what it was supposed to have done, World War II would not have happened, and that Hitler would not have been able to annex Austria and then annex the Sudetenland and then annex or just take march into Czechoslovakia unopposed and have a total gigantic military buildup while the Allies just stood there. We'd have done more. See, I'm not so sure that's right. Obviously, we don't know, but I'm not sure that's right. But he was an internationalist, Truman. He believed that we needed to lead the world. We needed to do our part with that. By the grace of God, he would put it, America is the strongest nation on earth, and we cannot just simply abandon the world. And if we do that, the war will make its way to us anyway. And I understand that argument. In other words, especially with communism. Yeah, and that's what led us, by the way, into the Korean War. And that's what led us into the Vietnam War. We're going to oppose communism. We're not going to let them have a free reign around the world. He was convinced that what happened at Munich in 1938, when the British and the French basically gave the Sudetenland over to Hitler and appeased Hitler, he was convinced that that's what caused World War II. You just fed a tiger, and this tiger's not going to stop, and war's coming. He says, you got to stand up to bullies sooner than later. And I understand that. That's a legitimate way of looking at it, of course. The question is, would have us joining the League of Nations after World War I stopped Hitler? Would it have really changed anything? I don't know. I don't know. I can't argue that. But that was the foreign policy of Truman. He was thoroughly American, believe it. And there were some people like Joseph McCarthy that was a he was a senator from Wisconsin, went way overboard, accusing everybody of being soft on communists. And he was not good. He was paranoid himself, Joseph McCarthy.
Right.
And had all these hearings and accusing people. He was a Republican, but that's not good. You can't just because somebody disagrees with you, you can't say that they're a communist sympathizer and so on and so forth. But we had to. And by the early 50s, we knew, I don't remember the exact date, but there was one of our planes it was flying up and detected a great amount of radioactivity. And it was coming over some part of Russia. And then we brought it to the scientists, and we basically learned the fact that the Soviet Union now had the bomb. They had the bomb just like we had the bomb. And not just the atomic bomb, but we are now developing the super nuclear bomb, which is somewhat different and way more powerful than the bombs that were dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, 1,000 times more powerful. And that was always looming. There was a time when North Korea invaded South Korea, and Truman made the decision, we're going to defend South Korea. We're going to defend them. He thought it might lead to World War III. That's what he told his wife. This might lead to World War III, but we cannot let the communists just take over another country. We're not going to do that.
Right.
And he was right.
Hence the Korean War, and actually I think the ending of that, explain that real quick here before we wrap up. Did we never technically ended that war, is that correct?
Correct. We just had a ceasefire, the 38th parallel there, divided
right.
The two. But MacArthur, there's the music. I'll address this after.
Yeah, General MacArthur, not Senator McCarthy.
Right.
Bomb the hour, news break. We'll be right back.
Michigan.